Utilities meeting to order for Wednesday, October 11th. Welcome, everyone. Jason will get into it, but we had a workshop yesterday. It's encouraging that we have so many folks in the community that show up for these meetings. So we appreciate people's interest and input, which we'll always have public comment at the end of the meeting. So we'll start with item two here. Karen has an update on the schedule.
I do. We've had a little bit of a shift in what we had planned on doing originally due to some timing around Thanksgiving. Personal schedules kind of shifted us a little bit, and I think it worked to our advantage. So our next meetings will be Monday the 23rd. Will be another workshop, and that'll be planned at 4 o'clock. And I believe that'll be at Des Moines Waterworks. So then the next meeting after that will be our regular Wednesday morning meeting like this one, October 25th. Followed by another workshop on Thursday afternoon, the 26th.
Is that at 4 as well?
At 4 p.m., yes, at Des Moines Waterworks. And I think Laura will probably send out meeting invites and updates on all of this to you as well. Then going forward, the Wednesday morning meetings will be November 15th, November 29th, and December 13th. That's a slight adjustment. We had to move them over. So that's what we've got on our calendars for now.
And the goal is to try to wrap it up on the 13th of December?
That's the goal.
Okay.
Always good to have.
Karen, will there be workshops?
There will be workshops, yes, yes. And Jason will go into some of that as well and share with us what our next workshops are. During that week of the 23rd of October, also we're going to be working on scheduling one-on-one meetings with the mayors. So mayors will be getting in touch with you to get those scheduled with Jason.
Great.
And that's it.
Any questions for Karen on the schedule? All right. Item three, update on our workshop from last night, Jason. Looked like David came back, so we didn't wear him out.
David is here. Thank you. Yes, last night was our very first workshop with the group. To summarize a little bit, we talked about two topics last night, and the overall objective for future workshops will be to try to get two topics in unless we have something that's just too substantial to get into one meeting. But last night's two topics were what we called the obligation of service and the right to serve. A little bit on both. The obligation to service, what is that? Well, this is the promise that's being made between the proposed new entity and its members. It is could be said that it's the mission for that regional entity, and it defines what it provides, how it provides it, when it is provided, where, and to whom. And we had a good part of our time last night discussing this at some length, and I'll get into some of the elements that we reached consensus on here in a moment. The other item that we discussed was the right to serve. This is sort of the flip side of the coin on these two issues. The right to serve is the promise that the members are making to the entity provide the entity itself with exclusive rights inside of a specific geographic region in exchange for that obligation to serve. So these two things fit hand in hand. We had that discussion last night about how important they were. Just a little bit about the workshop format and how that works for those who weren't able to directly participate in the workshop and who have an interest in how this is all being set up. The workshops themselves are scheduled in advance. This one was scheduled the last time I was here, and they're based on some of the priorities and categories that I had come up with and presented last time. Although we don't strictly follow that, we do try to follow it in general, because those categories and priorities are set up to be in succession with one another a lot of times. In other words, one discussion leads to another, which leads to a third, and so forth. So we schedule those based on priorities. At that point, our team goes back and we try to get some background and context provided for the workshop. We've called these issue papers. Little thumbnails of those are up there. I believe those will be posted on the website if they haven't been already. You can read a little bit about what those are. What they are really is meant to give a little definition about what the topic is that we're going to be addressing that night. It also gives some thoughtful points that probably need to be considered in the decision-making, and it also offers the group something of a starting point from which they can base their discussion. It's meant to be an inertia breaker, so that when we get to the meeting, we aren't starting from a blank screen or a blank point on the map. We can at least start from somewhere where that particular point is right or wrong is really not the point. It's really that we have a point that we can start from. Then we conduct the facilitated discussion on these topics. That's what happened last night. We kind of spent an hour and a half last night discussing these two. And as we're going along in there, we record those areas where we reach consensus. We record those areas where we may have disagreement, and record any new issues that have been identified in what we call our parking lot. And of course, log whatever action items that come out of the discussion. This all happens in real time as we're working through the workshop, which is why I need my excellent assistant here to help me keep track of it all. And what did we keep track of anyway? Well, we had such a good discussion last night on obligation to serve that we really didn't have a whole lot of issues that are left for us to address here, but we do have at least one that we tabled. So. I'll try to summarize these. I believe it was Mayor Gere who put out the idea that this regional entity is going to promise to meet member demands when those demands are requested. I summarized that very first point here. That kind of encapsulates this obligation to service pretty well. We talked about some other elements of what that means, and the other items on the list represent other areas of consensus along this main theme. So for the purposes of providing members drinking water demands, the entity will provide the following services: source water withdrawals and storage, treatment of the source water, transmission, pumping, and storage of that water to various points of delivery to the members. It needs to be said, most likely, that they will not be providing any of the distribution services, and those services would remain with all the local authorities as they currently exist. Water will be provided at the following levels of service: at the maximum day demand, at agreed upon pressures, without denying service to the members, and if curtailments are necessary for mechanical or surface water, unforeseen reasons, then those curtailments would always be proportional. No, there'd be no preference given to any of the members. It'd simply be cut proportionally if it was necessary to do that. And at adequate and reasonable costs. The item that we got to that we needed to put in the parking lot last night was about whether or not the entity itself would be responsible for meeting state and federal regulatory requirements. We felt like we needed more clarity on the authority of the regional board and the relationship between that board and the current permit holders before we can really address that issue. So that will be brought back in the future. Within the right to serve, again, this being the exclusivity of the regional entity to provide these water production services within the region, the first thing we discussed is indeed what is that region and what is the, in other words, what are the geographic boundaries. What we put out as a definition was that it would extend to the political boundaries, both current and future, of its members. So wherever those boundaries are now, and as they might change in the future, that will define the geography, if you will, where this regional entity will have this exclusivity privilege. Existing members with production facilities can continue to operate them within their own distribution systems, and we also reached consensus that those entities may rehabilitate those facilities in order to maintain existing capacity levels in them. However, the right to serve is just that, a right to serve, and this one exception does not extend to the expansion of those facilities for new capacity. If there's a 10 MGD facility today, it can be maintained at 10 MGD. It cannot be expanded to 20 or even 11 for that matter, based on what we discussed last night. We did then started talking about a list of things that the members need to agree not to do in order to enforce this exclusivity inside the geography. And we did not get all the way through that list. But one of the things that we did reach some consensus on is that the members would not contract for or acquire any water production from any other entity. In other words, and it's an exclusive right for the regional entity to provide this. There was another short few items that we were not able to get to because we ran out of time. And we'll bring those back at a future workshop so that we can at least discuss them and see whether we have any consensus on them or not. So those other members will not provisions. There's a few of them that we'll discuss in a future workshop. Another item that we tabled to follow up on is the concept of demand management, and I might say conservation goals and how those would work regionally versus locally. That was a discussion that we didn't quite get to the end of last night, but I'll come back in the future. And how would we accommodate the requests for new members? And we've got sort of the charter group that would be the original signatories, but what happens if somebody wants to join later on? We put that in our parking lot and expect to address that at a future event as well. Okay, last slide. The future workshops, Karen gave you the plan for the week of the 23rd. The items that I've got proposed for those workshops are the one that we missed this week, thanks to my unfortunate travel situation. Incidentally, Laura, thank you so much. You had to do all this rescheduling. I think that was, I don't know if we could have made it without you. Thank you. The capitalization of the regional entity, in other words, how does the entity raise funds to invest in any of these new facilities that are anticipated? And that will lead into a discussion of the form of agreement or form of intergovernmental agreement that would be needed here, depending on where the group comes out on that. That could either be a 28E or a 28F type of agreement. And we expect to have legal counsel available at that particular workshop so that we can talk about some of those pros and cons on those legal sides of those agreements. The second item in that workshop is the accounting for regional water production costs. We need to get some agreement on how that's going to be done and by whom. Workshop number three, operational authority of the regional entity. What can the entity do? What can the operator do? And you know, what are the limits of that? And then planning and specification of the authority. What's its role in planning for the regional water production needs? And how strong is that role? And where does their authority extend? Where does it end? Those will be topics for that particular workshop. We have several others that would be in future workshops, but we'll be planning those about as far out in advance as we can and getting those on the agenda. But this is what we have for that week. I don't have anything else. That's our report from last night. I think the plan going forward is as we have these Wednesday meetings that we'll report on everything that we can up to the Wednesday meeting. I think, for example, in our next trip out here, we're going to have one of these workshops on Thursday. So obviously we won't be able to report on our progress on Thursday. We can talk about our agenda, but I'll only be able to give an update on what we've accomplished thus far. So that's how we plan to go going forward. Okay. I guess with that, I'll sit here for questions.
I think one thing we'd like to clarify, because this is a question I think a number have gotten from the end users, who determines the price of my water? And I think we tried to make it clear last night in the workshop that this regional entity would determine basically the wholesale price of the water to the various utilities and cities. And at that point, then it's up to Des Moines, West Des Moines, Urbandale, their water utility to set the retail rates, and the other city councils to set the retail rates. So the end user needs to understand that that the cost of their water is still going to be set by the same entity that's setting it today. But we'd like to think that the wholesale rate would, in the long run, would be more economical as a regional unit for all of us than it would be if you have cities going it on their own. So I think we wanted to make sure that the public was aware of how the rates are going to be set going forward. Other questions or comments, either from the audience or for anyone that was at the workshop that they would like to add?
The only thing I would add, we talked about it, it's fairly late just before we broke up, but we were talking about the capacities that at the other two production facilities and maintaining the level that they come in at. But we also talked about, well, I guess, maintaining that level. They can't increase it, but can they decrease it? Because we've got a finite level of production for the region, and their production is part of that total production. So if for whatever reason they did want to reduce that, there's got to be some mechanism to have the regional authority concur with that reduction in their individual capacity.
Yeah, and we'd have to come up with a price for that to allow that to happen.
Gary, specifically, the two others you're talking about are Altoona,
right?
And
if for whatever reason they determine they want to decrease their production, that
right.
has to be taken into
sure.
account of the.
Yeah, and the example that's used was Jody brought up Des Moines, or West Des Moines, 10 million gallons. If West Des Moines lost one of its wells and went down to 5 million gallons and approached the authority to say, you know, we'd rather pay for the additional 5 million capacity through the authority. Authority's going to have to agree on that, how they price it, versus, no, West Des Moines, you need to continue to produce your 10 million because we were counting on that 10 million to be produced by you, by yourself, as a part of the regional entity. Yeah, the same thing with, you know, we talked about participating governments. I think, you know, if this all comes to fruition, we're going to find out who really wants to be involved from the get-go. And if they choose not to and they want to come in later, there's going to have to be a process that goes through and a pricing that comes up because the group that started this doesn't want to have to pay a premium because somebody opted out from the beginning and decided a number of years later, hey, I'm better off if I join the regional utility. So, you know, we're going to encourage people that make sense to join us, but if they choose not to, there's going to be a process and a price if they're allowed to join the entity going forward. And I think the exclusivity obviously is key, and I think that's why the whole notion that this regional utility needs to be able to provide every participating entity with the amount of water they need when they need it. Otherwise, exclusivity doesn't make sense.
I just add to that because there was quite a bit of discussion, just what you said, and then that term reasonable came into their amount of time to provide it.
Right.
They had something that popped up and they needed it, but usually the planning time that can happen. For if you have an expanded need on that. So I remember they put in the term reasonable amount on it.
Right.
Providing that.
Well, the water utility shared with us that they're always planning to have a lot more capacity than what they think the maximum anyway. So you've got some cushion to begin with, and annually each community is going to share with the regional group what they think their demand's going to be. So if they underestimate their demand because they haven't figured out where they're going, then kind of shame on them. But you'd like to think that there's plenty of excess capacity built in so that that people are going to get what they need.
Can I add one other issue that has kind of troubled me since we discussed it last night, because I haven't been able to put my mind around how to deal with it. We have two water districts that are part of our current service territory, Xenia and Warren. Unlike West Des Moines or Urbandale or Ankeny, the obligation to serve for a geography involving a water district is different than it is a regular geopolitical subdivision like a city. As an example, and Dale Acheson used this, I think, very appropriately yesterday in our discussions. Xenia is an area that we currently provide water to here for the Dallas County area primarily, but the water district actually goes all the way nearly to the Minnesota border. And the obligation to serve for the regional area certainly would not provide an obligation to serve for Xenia for all of its customers, unlike our obligation to serve for Urbandale or West Des Moines or whatever it may be. So we have a little bit of a nuance there. I don't think that nuance is the same for Warren, because we actually provide water for their entire district. But Xenia is different. Right. So as we kind of wade through the obligation to serve, there's a little bit of a footnote for that particular obligation to serve, I think.
So would they need to become a member in that example?
They are a member, Gary. I mean, currently we provide them, but we only provide it for an area essentially in the far southwestern portion of their territory.
Right, but I mean, would we be considering them a member of the region, just like any of the municipalities that we're talking about?
Great question, and again, I think that's to be determined. They're an important customer for us regionally, obviously an important growth area for us as a region, but I don't think we conceivably are looking at our long-range plan with the idea that we're going to be serving water to them throughout their service territory outside of the Dallas County area. So their membership, I think, is different.
I mean, it seems like they'd have to adjust themselves somehow to segregate a geographic boundary, but if we're going to be having, I don't know how much of that we're serving right now, but it's almost like we'd have to have some sort of a membership status that they would participate just like Ankeny or West Des Moines would, because they're a purchasing customer.
Well, yeah, and Diana and Karen can probably have more details than I, but I think, for instance, in West Des Moines, I think our goal would be to buy out Xenia as we annex our boundaries. So then we don't need their participation in the regional entity. Now, only if you get to a position where you can't come to terms on what the cost is, but really the way they set up, I'm not sure that they've got the capacity to provide the amount of water and the pressure that we need for development purposes. So, I mean, our goal has always been our water utility has continued to buy out Xenia as we've annexed. The other point that I think we all agreed to yesterday is the members apply to your geographic boundaries. For instance, West Des Moines, we're in four counties. There's still a lot of land we're going to annex. We're part of the utility, and it applies to us as we continue to annex. It doesn't stop when we start. It includes all of our boundaries into the future as Ankeny or Urbandale or Clive or any of the other communities go. So we'll have to figure that out. Ideally, you can buy them out and you don't have to deal with that issue, but I guess we'll have to see as we progress.
One of the concerns I would have is that we would somehow back into an obligation to serve areas of the Xenia district that we certainly have not conceived of in our long-range plan. We don't take water far enough north, nor have we provided any infrastructure to do that. If we were to example provided in rural Ames,
right,
as an example, in the pier, wherever, Boone County.
Well, maybe if we just limited the geographic boundaries of the entities that participate in the regional, then we know that we're not going beyond the political boundaries of the participating communities.
I would agree, Steve. I think there's a way to work it out. I just haven't quite found it in my own thought process yet. But Xenia is different than the rest of us, I believe.
Bill, you guys are running it right now, but Berwick Water District also, it's very minimal, but it is a water district.
Right.
Now, I assume that's going to get involved too. We bought some of it out. So.
Correct, and we actually view them as a total service customer like we would Cumming now, Vern, so they're a little different. Even though they are a water district, mm-hmm. We view them almost like another municipality.
Yeah, and one of the communities that's not here today, but we've been discussing, is Grimes. I mean, they're producing 100% of their own water today. They're expanding to continue to do it. Mayor Armstrong and I have had some conversations. Sue's reached out to them. We want them at the table so they understand what the opportunity would be for them if they wanted to be, if this is pulled together and they want to be part of it from the start, or if they want to continue to go on it on their own, they need to make a conscious decision if that's the direction they're going, and what the ramifications are someday if they want to come back into the utility. Other questions or comments on where we are to date? Is there anyone in the public that would like to share any comments with us or questions? A lot to get through, but I think we're making a lot of progress.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's nothing else, we'll stand adjourned. 7:55.